Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Colombo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Colombo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Colombo, right here for you.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because today we have a fantastic show for you, like we do every Wednesday at noon right here on the West Coast. And I want to tell you, I never ate so many popsicles and cold drinks in my life as I did this Labor Day weekend. I hope you enjoyed your weekend, because in California we had grid warnings going down and all sorts of things happening here. It was so hot, people were actually melting. I'm glad I don't live out in the desert. I know that it was as high as at least 107 in some cities, maybe even higher in the desert. It was not a good weekend as far as the weather goes. But today it's pleasant and the birds are out gliding again. So that's a good sign. So Wake Up America is the American dream on the verge of the American nightmare. Well, it doesn't have to be that way. But it is, because American Military News and Texas governor announces that 80 known terrorists have crossed right into the good old USA. And what do terrorists want to do to the good old USA and the American people through open borders? Well, I guess we're going to find out. But it does not have to be that way, because the Constitution calls for secure borders and national security, and we pay all these people with our tax dollars to perform that particular duty, correct? That's correct. And why aren't they performing it? Because we have people in the White House and Congress who like open borders. So there you go, two sides of the aisle here. One likes to uphold the Constitution and their sworn oath and secure the borders and keep Americans safe from trafficking, fentanyl, drugs, and guns, and organ harvesting, and killing our young people with opioids and fentanyl and guns, and also disappearing, kidnapped from the country, children and females. That is not a national security effort on the part of those who are taxpayer-funded to do their job. So these are the things we're faced with today. So is the American dream on the verge of the American nightmare? I've been asking that question since I've been on the radio for 30 years, AM, FM, starting out. With Women Fight Back Then, Issues of the Day, and I coined that Wake Up America is the American dream on the verge of the American nightmare, never dreaming that it was actually going to turn into the American nightmare. But it doesn't have to be that way, because we have a very special guest, because you can take control of your own life. And we have a fabulous guest today, and you can take control of your own mindset, and she's going to tell us how to do that. She is the author of The Path 365, a daily directory for ladies and mothers with others. And her name is Suzie Newell, S-U-Z-I-E-N-E-W-E-L-L. So in her last name, she has the word new, which she will teach you how to create a new mindset. And then she has the word well, W-E-L-L, and we can go deep into the well, and guess what? We can pull your mind right up from the well and into a positive mindset with her very important information. And just to let you know, on part two, we're going to enter into the Justice Club. And the Justice Club is all about injustices, because there's very little justice in the world today. So we have to stand up, speak up, speak out, resist anything that is repugnant to the United States Constitution and to the conscience of mankind. That is our duty as American citizens. That is, if you are a patriot who loves God, country, family, military, law enforcement, Constitution, U.S. flag, national anthem. But if you are not, then you can ignore this message. But I hope you do not, because America is one of the, well, it is the greatest nation on earth, in my opinion, because I'm biased, of course. I'm sure lots of countries have beautiful countries, but I visited some in Europe and other places, and it's so fascinating to me to be with the people and see how they live and how they cook and dance and have their music and just get into it, because that is their country and that is the beauty of their country. And if you don't want to embrace it, then you should stay home. That's my opinion. But if you do go, try to embrace other cultures and civilizations and respect their laws, of course, because America is the only one with an open border policy over the past, what, 30 years or so, maybe 40 years now. And it was illegal immigration, a few coming in here and there, sneaking across the borders. But now they're coming in by the tens of thousands. I don't know who's going to feed them and support them and house them and fund them. And I don't know who they are. I don't know who's sitting next to me. Should I take a public bus? And the poor girl that was raped recently while people videotaped it and reported to the police, nobody helped her. And the person was an illegal foreigner in our country with a criminal record to boot. So that's why I, Rose Colombo, oppose open borders and violating state and federal laws at the borders and denying police, sheriff, ICE, and Border Patrol from performing their duty to secure the borders, to vet people legally as required by our constitutional laws, and to let them stand in line behind thousands of people who have been waiting and applying legally to enter into the USA and assimilate. Not coming here to impose their laws on us, but coming here or to dominate our nation, but coming here to assimilate in a free nation where we can enjoy our lives and our families and whatever religion you want, whatever you want to say or do. This is the only country in the world, and we are losing it. And we need to stand up and get it back. ASAP, we're headed in a direction that we can change our mindset on how to take back our country. And that's what is going to be great about today's show, as well as not only our personal lives or being depressed over something, but also about how to take back our country. If we change our mindset, but first we need to know how. So when I come back, we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts, and I will tell you about our fantastic guest, Susie Newell. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Yes, it's available at Amazon.com, and the world needs to read it, and you need to share it and give it as a gift, because it will be a gift to opening up what critics say will open up the minds of people around the world. And on that note, we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts, and another great author here with us who's going to talk to us about how to change our mindsets. Yes, she deserves a huge applause. And let me tell you about Suzy Newell, S-U-Z-I-E. Suzy Newell has her doctorate specializing in coping mechanisms. Her work as a nurse and a physiologist on obstetric units in the epicenter of the opioid crisis exposed her to the day-to-day roadblocks people face, not just within the world of substance use disorder, but in everyday life as well. Her own journey began with a degree in political science, working in social justice. Suzy has always championed people's journeys. Well, in Guatemala, during the 500 years of resistance campaign, she met a woman who inspired her to return to school and ultimately work in anesthesia. It all sounds perfect on paper, but it's been a long journey, and I'm going to let her tell us about that journey and why she decided to help other people and move on with her education and become an expert and write author and write that fabulous book, The Path 365. So let's welcome Suzy Newell to Colombo Chronicles. Hi, Suzy. Welcome to Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, Rose. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. We're happy to have you here today, and we're happy to learn about our mindsets. But Suzy, first, why don't you tell us about a little bit about your journey that led you to a higher education and helping people?
Well, thank you. So I just wanted to say you had mentioned how I had just listened to something about kind of this Jungian psychologist who said, when you help yourself get better, you're helping the world become a better place. And so I love that you said that, because I just heard that a few minutes ago. So it's a sign.
thank you.
So my own journey, I'm sober, and I started into recovery when I was very young, and I come from a family with five children, and my parents died when I was young, and my brother died of cirrhosis, and then I have a sister who should probably be sober, and I have a brother who is sober, and then I have another sister who died of an overdose. So when she died of an overdose, I worked, as you mentioned, in obstetric anesthesia, and I came back to work and put epidurals in three women in active heroin abuse. And I thought, I have to do something. I can't just watch this happen. And I kept thinking, what's the difference between my brother and I and my sister? And so I started this meeting where we focus on coping mechanisms. And then I was, it's called Recovery Path for Mothers and Others, and that's online now if anybody needs help. And then my friend, who is a CRNA and has her PhD, said to me, you got to go back to school. You got to make this a real thing. So so I went back and got my doctorate and focused in on the coping mechanisms. And because I had all these coping mechanisms lined out and researched and the neuroscience behind them and what have you, when COVID hit, I thought, wow, the world is just really in need of some just good old-fashioned, here's how you cope. And so I put the book together, and I knew a lot of out-of-work artists, so because everything is shut down, and they helped me put the book together. So
that's fantastic, and it's called The Path 365, Daily Direction for Ladies and Mothers, Witches and Others. And I was curious why you put the word witches in there, in the subtitle.
Well, it's funny because we went back and forth about it. Initially I wanted to use a different word begins with a B, because I'm a practical sense kind of woman, right? So I speak really in the vernacular. It's not a scientific book. It's based in science, but I don't want people to be intimidated by it. So I present it in the vernacular. And we use the other word that begins with the B very, very, not very frequently, but every once in a while. And we call that your bee in the head is the one that's always snapping at you and saying awful things to you and scary things to you. And
yeah, I think that B word was popular in the 80s and 90s. They even had necklaces and jewelry with the B word on it.
Right. So they convinced me not to, and then I switched it to witches because that was less offensive. But what is hilarious is that's also apparently a very hot word right now, and so you just can't win when you make decisions like that. You make them, and they're in paper now, and that's it. And I actually have found it very entertaining and opening this door that I didn't even know existed to a different world. And so a lot of people who identify as witches and people who are pagans and things like that have reached out. And so it's interesting to me to just kind of see the world and the spiritual path people are on, because, I mean, I don't care what path they're on. So, and that's the beauty of the book, too. The book is designed so you can be Christian, you can be Buddhist, you can be a witch. It doesn't matter. You design your own path and you use whatever spiritual practice is the most comfortable for you, so you can get to the place that you need to be hormonally and increase those feel good hormones.
So what was the exact moment though that you decided, I'm going to write the book, The Path 365?
Mm-hmm. So my daughter had been in New York City for about 7 years, and when COVID began, she moved home to my basement with her boyfriend, which was something I didn't see happening ever. those first few weeks in New York were terrifying, and people were, it was bananas. So she and her boyfriend moved home, and they lived in my basement, and they're musicians, but she is also an artist, and she does a lot of stage management and creative director management, that kind of stuff. And so when she was home, I thought, these guys are pretty depressed right now. So it was actually my home situation that first made me decide to. I thought, what my daughter said to me was, here I am working in the pandemic, and I'm working in the pandemic. I'm the person they call in the middle of the night to put the tubes in the people who were sick. And so I was very busy, and the rest of the world is sitting at home. And she says to me one afternoon, you really are not experiencing this the way everybody else is. Like, you just don't get how weird this is and how awful it is. And I stopped and I looked around and I thought, she's absolutely right. I mean, if anything, I'm a little relieved that I don't have to do as much work in the surgery centers that closed down. And so I was working a little bit less and I had some free time, and my that's nice for me because I'm always working. So she was absolutely right. And then I looked around and I thought, yeah, but you guys don't know how to cope. Like, nobody. Like, I looked around and I thought, everybody is struggling so hard and nobody can kind of figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, people were falling apart left, right, and center. So that was really the moment that I decided to write it.
Well, it was a good moment because people were not only falling apart, there was an increase of suicides with the elderly and the youth. And even though mainstream media denies it, it is a true statistical fact that people were actually so depressed and they had that mindset that they couldn't socialize, they couldn't go to church, they couldn't, I mean, these are just the natural normal habits of American people, whether you're young or old, and all of a sudden the world stopped. And I remember the old, I watched classics, there's an old, The Day the Earth Stood Still. I love that.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
I
love it. And
yeah.
And it's just, you know, well, I love all the old classics. Got my kids hooked on them. And and so that reminds me of the day the Earth stood still when Dr. Fauci announced and CDC and WHO that they were locking down Americans. That's like being imprisoned. And in a communist nation where they have quarantines, curfews, and you're punished if you don't obey the government, that I think will always stand out as the most horrific time in history, that particular day. And it caused so much damage to the mind and confusion and depression so deep that people actually decided they'd rather be dead than live under that reign of terror. And it was a reign of terror, in my opinion. So I totally will not forget that day.
Yeah, it's everybody went through such a journey with it. And I, like I said, the kids were, they were depressed. It was hard. And so I worked to spin it positive, and they all got so active in this project. It was amazing. So I feel very lucky for that.
But the point is that unfortunately for the majority of the world, that message wasn't out there yet. And fortunately for those who finally got your book and the message, I'm sure it's helped so many people in the USA and around the world. So you write about rejecting fundamentalists. What do you mean by that?
That's a great question. So you heard what I said before about the need for it to be open. And one of the things that will kill us internally is if we only see things one way and if we fall into a really strict dogma that doesn't allow us to expand basically the receptors that are the feel-good receptors, the dopamine, and it's really the dopamine. So what's weird is and we don't like to hear this because I think all of us fight this reality, but the interesting part is that this helps. So if you understand that everything about who you are is actually hormonal, then you can learn how to open up those spaces to create, like you can learn how to quiet your mind to open up the receptors for dopamine so that you can feel better. And in that way, you can address differences rather than fight them. So if people can have differences, we can get to a better place if we're able to have more dopamine involved. And dopamine is one of those feel-good hormones that lights up when you learn how to quiet your mind. So if you don't open your mind to this kind of thinking, and it's anything, I never politicize it. And people, it's interesting you bring up that one in particular because people always think it's either about them or it's not about them. Like they're like, oh, it's not about me because I'm not a fundamentalist. Or they'll say, why are you saying it's a fundamentalist? And I'll say anything can be fundamental. You can be fundamentalist about the way you sit down in a chair. You know what I mean? Everybody has learned poor coping mechanisms that locks down their ability to create dopamine. And so what I say is don't ever think that everything is wrong that you believe. Always leave space for something else to enter. And that way you're constantly creating that dopamine. You're constantly have space in your mind for different kinds of thinking so that you can address the problems in your life instead of fighting all the time. And the old saying is if you're fighting everyone and everywhere, you're the problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that if you're like you, and then like you look up one day and you're like, maybe it's not everybody else. Maybe it's me. So that's the old thing. And I get to those places, I'll be at work and I'll think, I hate everyone.
Maybe President Biden should read your book. I think President Biden should read your book after that last speech that we're all a threat.
All politicians should read my book. Yeah.
He needs to read your book for sure. And the name of the book, of course, is The Path 365. And the author is Susie Newell, who we're talking to. So, you know, after 2001, I remember Senator Schumer and Bloomberg and a lot of Democrats saying on television that the American people must be tolerant after the 2001 attack. And now, with the COVID, which you mentioned, people became suddenly intolerant, whether they were family members or whether they were spouses, children, neighbors, colleagues, clerks in the store who became a Gestapo. It was so horrible to be shopping in stores with announcements coming over the loudspeaker on telling people to obey this or that, or they can't shop in their stores. I mean, it was the worst time ever in the American history, in my opinion, other than 2001 and a few other incidents, but in modern times here in the new millennium. Suddenly, Susie, people who you thought were your best friends, who loved you, family, friends, whoever, became intolerant. If you weren't wearing a mask, or you resisted being injected with an experimental injection, and which is a natural, God-given right to free will and choice, given that birth, an unalienable right, that we should be able to control our own minds and bodies, which goes back a mindset of individuals. And suddenly people became intolerant and even attacked people. Even elderly people on planes and children who were kept taking off their masks. So what happened with Americans becoming intolerant?
I think fear is a mind killer. I don't know if you know Frank Herbert at all, but he wrote that Dune series, and that's always been such a favorite concept. And now we can show that fear locks again, comes from your amygdala. It's a subconscious reaction. So that means you don't know why you're afraid. You think, like, you look around and you assign fear to things that are either unfamiliar or different. And I think that was an extreme time of fear, and people react very strongly in the face of fear. And we see that throughout history all of the time, that when people are afraid, they do horrid things. They do terrible things to other people. And so I think if we can learn to check our gut instead of use our gut, people always say, oh, your gut's the right thing. I'm like, your gut is like the worst thing. We are evolved over, you know, from people who ran away the fastest, right? So if you're like, your fear lands in this unconscious part, and that's great 10,000 years ago. If you see a saber-toothed tiger, you go, oh my God, run. And you don't sit there and go, gosh, his teeth are really long. I wonder if he's a carnivore. Maybe I should get out of here. And then the person that stayed in fight likely didn't win. So I would say our extreme anxiety in our society is natural part of the fact that our forefathers were all running fast away. But the difference is we don't have a saber-toothed tiger anymore. And so we have to check what is our fear reaction to. And that unconscious reaction sometimes is just a learned fear response, and it's not logical. And they've done lots of studies on this to show that over 80% of what people are afraid of is not actually real. It's just something in their head. And it's because my opinion, and this is just my opinion is that the amygdala response is so strong in us that we have to be afraid of something. And the next thing that to be afraid of at that time was, you know, this disease. And because none of us, you know, were alive during the Spanish flu, I think, we all have that, you know, we were all afraid. We all felt that feeling of like, oh my gosh, what do we do? And then you have the stories. And then of course me, the odd thing is that I wasn't afraid because very quickly I had to be desensitized to it because I put tubes in people who can't breathe, right? So I had to very quickly not be afraid. I have people coughing in my face, you know, and so you have all sorts of different situations where you're like, oh, shoot, I forgot this, you know, I didn't do this right, or I've got some of this on my hands, and we didn't know how things were spreading, and it was, you just got desensitized because you were so frequently taking care of patients who were just deathly ill that you just were like, well, I guess I'm okay, you know, like, okay right now, you know what I mean? So I think when I had a very desensitizing experience, but like my daughter said to me, you really don't understand what the rest of the country is going through. And I didn't, I mean, I did, and I didn't, I just worked and I just did my thing. And I tried really hard to, to remember that people get afraid and that every time they're afraid, they do crazy things. So
well,
we see that throughout history.
Yeah, the tolerant versus the intolerant is kind of a strange mindset, because the people who believed they were tolerant became intolerant, and many of the people who were intolerant were tolerant during that time. And then it turned out that we have the criminals who felt empowered after the BLM and Antifa attacks on certain cities across the nation, and looting and arson and murder and injuries, and they got away with all of it. And so, then you see the JC6, who may have trespassed on open doors and unsecured doors and unsecured gates at the Capitol, who are, according to Congress, being basically tortured as if they're in a communist nation being made examples of because they are Trump supporters. So we see all of this tolerance and intolerance switching and changing, in my opinion, depending upon the situation. And because of the empowering of criminals being able to get away even on camera and with the news media with Rome burning behind them saying we're in a peaceful protest. It was a little bit crazy as well. And so, sorry, but it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And so the point is that the tolerant and the intolerance can switch. From what I've seen, where now the criminals were raping, this one criminal who was an illegal was raping a girl on the bus, and nobody helped her, none of the men, nobody. They all just took videos and reported it to the police. So I see people who would have normally been intolerant and would have stepped in and helped are now becoming tolerant and just taking cell phone videos.
Well, I think that's my whole point. Like, that is exactly what I'm saying, is that we absolutely have to learn how to pull our fear and our open our minds so that we are accessing these hormones that create space for tolerance and seeing the world as many things as opposed to just one thing. And that way we can come together a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And so in your book, do you give people suggestions or tips or steps on how to change their mind?
Absolutely. So every single day is just a generally like a thought and then an intention, which is more like an exercise. So something that you can think about how, and that's what this is the part that I'm extremely proud of. I don't care what you do. Here's the concept. Here's the idea. How can you reach it? So you can be anybody from any walk of life and any, you know, if you don't have any money or if you have lots of money, I mean, you just, if you're from this or that or anything, you can access. I want everybody to be healthy because I like how we started this whole conversation. It's just very much the world will be a better place if everybody has more mental health. So I very, very much want that. And so the each day gives you an intention that you build upon. And it's written to build upon itself so that you can read it in order. However, many people read them in different orders and do it however it works for them. So yeah, it's definitely full of tools, 365 of them.
That's fantastic. And so this is something people should do every day so that they become mindful of it, right? And then they can change their mindset and live a better, more successful, more communicative lifestyle, make better decisions and choices is how I see your book. And I really appreciate your coming on Colombo Chronicles and explaining this to us and sharing your wealth of knowledge on this mindset. And so now's your time to shine, Susie Newell, and tell our audience any message you'd like and then also any contact information and how to get your book.
Well, thank you so much. I think that facing your life one day at a time is how I started down this journey with my sobriety. So I have to pay homage to all of that journey. And please, my book is on Amazon, The Path Through 65 by Susie Newell with a Z. And then also you can follow me on any social media at The Path Through 65.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Susie Newell, for being on Colombo Chronicles and sharing your knowledge with us. And I'm going to be practicing your steps every day, just so you know.
Thank you so much.
You're
Thank
welcome,
you very much.
Susie. God bless. Keep up the good work.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Susie Newell has left the building, and be sure to get her book, The Path 365. Daily Directory for Ladies and Mothers, Witches and Others. Find out how you can change your mindset. It doesn't matter what your religion or your race or your age or ethnicity or whatever you believe in. It's a book for everybody who wants to change their mindset and be a better person and be conscious of other people and their mindset so you don't react in a bad way. Or maybe you can help somebody because you've changed your mindset who is being raped on a bus. Whatever the reason is, it always helps us to improve our minds because without our minds, we'll all be cyborgs and robots and controlled by AI, I suppose. So wake up, America, because now's your time to learn about how to control your own mind and body right here on Colombo Chronicles. And when we come back, we will enter into the Justice Club.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
The Justice Club is back on Colombo Chronicles Live Podcast. Join Rose Colombo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Thank God we're all alive because that means we can change our mindset and we can experience new things around the world and meet new people and achieve new goals and read new books and open and expand our minds because we are our thoughts. And whatever our thoughts are, that's us. And it's very individual and very personal. So you may want to share books like The Path 365 or Obamasaurus. Hopefully you'll share them with everybody and expand people's minds.
So reading is fantastic, and for the schools to diminish reading, writing, and arithmetic is not fantastic, and it is a huge mistake in America, again, in my opinion. Nothing like the good old basics on knowing how to add and subtract, which apparently the government has forgotten how to do. And so now we're in this huge debt, and China's buying up all our farmland with Bill Gates, and the food plants. That means who's going to control our food? Who's going to control our homeland? Will there be a famine? Will there be drought? Because we sent billions of bottles of water over to China to help them. So why are they buying up our land with water rights on this land? And who's allowing it in the United States government? And why aren't they stopping it and filing an injunction and giving them their money back? That's my opinion and my mindset. This is our homeland. We're going to be China America if we do not stop this ridiculous government from selling out our homeland to technocrats who are billionaires to control our water, our oil, our food, our electricity, and our rent and so forth that is skyrocketing out of control for millions of Americans. And they're destroying the middle class. They're destroying our manufacturing companies since 1993 by outsourcing them, called globalists, which in my opinion, sending intellectual property and U.S. manufacturing companies to use slave labor for more profit, and sending our jobs for slave labor and taking away jobs from Americans, which took place now. People are seeing it more and more of the damage that Bill Clinton's outsourcing and globalist agendas and getting into bed with communist China along with all the Democrats and rhinos has done to the American people, who are now the ones who are second-class citizens and getting poorer by the day, going into their savings, being threatened that they're going to take our money out of our bank accounts, and they're going to take and steal and hijack and commit a heist and the greatest grand robbery ever by these technocrats and the Federal Reserve and the World Bank, et cetera, which is a crime against the American people and the world, because they have no constitutional authority in America with an unconstitutional executive order that is never intended to make laws, and only Congress can make laws in the USA. So they're violating their sworn oath in the U.S. Constitution by tricking American people into believing that executive orders and mandating those orders in an executive order by the White House is the law of the land, when they are actually violating the law of the land, because executive orders were never intended to make laws. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Congress is the only body that can make laws. And so anything that someone with cognitive issues possibly is signing, or anyone of a sound mind is signing intentionally, has this knowledge that they are not provided the job duty as President of the United States to run the nation by executive order or make laws. Executive orders were intended to make administrative laws or declare war. The President of the United States only has five duties, and making laws is not one of his duties, which has been going on through 2009, because they use executive orders to bypass Congress and bypass the Constitution, to the borders open, and that again is tricking the American people into believing that it's legal, lawful, constitutional, but in my opinion, it is not. So, judge orders Dr. Fauci and the top officials to produce records for big tech government censorship lawsuit. It's about time that Americans fight back for freedom of speech. I was on Facebook and Twitter for 12 years, brought them tons of members that they made money off it, billions of dollars, like people like me and others who tens of thousands of people read my posts and loved them and were great followers, and then they just wiped you out with a fact checker after 12 years with false accusations
against your, I don't know, community posts, offending their community post. And but for 12 years, I didn't offend them until Dr. Fauci came along. Well, that is absolutely stunning. So you cannot under, since 2019, ask questions or oppose anything that Dr. Fauci, CDC, WHO, or Bill Gates, Melinda Gates, and George Soros says on Facebook or Twitter, it appears. So, anyway, Dr. Anthony Fauci, White House Press Secretary, Kieran Jean-Pierre, and other top Biden administrative officials who were resisting efforts to obtain their communications with big tech companies must hand over the records, a federal judge ruled on September 6th. Maybe some of these federal judges are starting to come back and performing their duty to uphold, defend, and protect the Constitution. Their only duty is to uphold the Constitution and to be objective and fair and merciful and make objective decisions. Their only duty, but the priority and the justice's only duty, that they get lifetime positions and pensions and benefits from the taxpayers, the middle class, who are being destroyed today, is to uphold the Constitution. How difficult is that? I would like to be a U.S. justice and just uphold the Constitution. I find that the best job in the entire world, because I would love to uphold the Constitution and enforce it and make sure that it's enforced and that no other person who is paid by the taxpayers can come along and bypass and rewrite, alter, ignore the United States Constitution and start ordering people to do what they're told to do outside of constitutional law and outside of the will of the majority of people. Did you know that it requires the will of most Americans to pass a law that must be read and reviewed and studied and, if needed, amended, approved by the Congress and then by the Senate before it can even become law? There are hearings, but no, Obamacare was passed because Obama said he had a pen and he had a phone and he didn't need the Constitution or Congress because they were meaningless, because he had a pen and a phone and he could write executive orders. But that should have been halted by the United States Congress and the United States Senate in 2009. They even admitted they didn't read 2,700 pages of death panels, which I informed them of in my blog, Obamacare is Unconstitutional and Illegal, sent it on to every congressman and every senator, including my own, and posted it online and on congress.org before they approved the unread 2,700 pages of laws, mandates, regulations, penalties, fines, mandated taxpayer-funded abortions and vaccines, not just in America, but taxpayers were to pick up the tab worldwide for this agenda that we're seeing today. So we're paying for our own demise. Believe it or not. And if you don't believe it, why don't you read the 2,700 pages? Because I did, and so did Liberty Counsel, who we were in communication with. And you should support Liberty Counsel. They've been working hard every single day to protect our constitutional rights, freedoms, and liberties, along with the Thomas More Center, Hillsdale College. Anyway, this article says, U.S. District Judge Terry Doughty, a Trump appointee, ordered the government to quickly produce documents after it was sued by the Attorneys General of Louisiana and Missouri over alleged collusion with big tech firms such as Facebook. The initial tranche of discovery released on August 31st revealed that more than 50 government officials across a dozen agencies were involved in applying pressure to social media companies to censor users. Well, I was one of those users who was on Facebook and Twitter for 12 years, and I truly resent being used and abused by our government and by billionaires who are CEOs of these companies who just wiped out my entire tens of thousands of followers. And so should you be if you are a conservative, because this was not a conservative movement to do this. And no one in America should be silenced from their opinions, facts, or thoughts about what the government or what Big Pharma and the Alphabet medical departments are doing that are outside of their authority, because they are not elected officials who have no authority over any American unless they allegedly were provided police powers under the Obama-Biden regime, which then would be questionable if they were, because they're not law enforcers. So why would they secretly make them law enforcers if that were a truther? But I'm just saying that is a rumor, not a truther. But some of the officials refused to provide any answers or answer all questions posed by the plaintiffs among them. Fauci, who serves as director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which I believe he just retired from, and the chief medical advisor to President Joe Biden. The government claimed that Fauci should not be required to answer all questions or provide records in his capacity as NIAID director or in his capacity as Biden's chief medical advisor. It has also attempted to withhold records and responses from Jean-Pierre. In the new ruling on Tuesday, breaking the stalemate, Doughty said both Fauci and Jean-Pierre needed to comply with the interrogatories and record requests. Well, if you and I have to comply with a judge's orders, why do people who have a lot of money and titles believe they do not have to comply or inform the general public of the truth? Why do they think they can just sit there and say, I don't remember, I don't recall, I'll have to get back to you, it's under investigation, I can't talk about it, why bother to have a hearing at taxpayers' expense if they can't answer any questions except to put it on the record that they aren't answering any questions? But if you and I did that in a court of law, we'd be in huge trouble with the judge, trust me. I mean, of course people forget, of course people can't remember things, but when it is consistent and every elected official or appointed official is before the Senate and they can never remember anything, they should quit their jobs and get people who can remember. So, first, the requested information is obviously very relevant, of course, to plaintiff's claims. Dr. Fauci's communications would be relevant to the plaintiff's allegations and to the entire world, I would say, in reference to alleged suppression of speech, and that was suppression of speech. And I'm sorry, but that should bug everyone whose freedom of speech in America was suppressed. Your opinions, your thoughts, your questions, that is what they do in Communist China, and that's what happens when the CCP comes knocking on their doors like they want to do here in America and force us to pay for them 87,000, the army of 87,000 IRS agents to knock on our doors, which is a very dangerous path. Are they going to knock on any of the people in Congress who are on the left? Are they going to knock on anybody's doors and search their computers and their records and their homes in the Oval Office? Are they going to do it to the Democrat Speaker of the House and senior senators and their congressional members? Because that's where they should start. Why is it always targeting the right? Why are the middle class always the targets? No. Corruption starts at the top. It trickles on down, and they need to start at the top. And who's investigating the investigators? And why are they even spying on Americans when they're allowing open borders with terrorists walking across our borders and flying them into the USA and releasing them from Gitmo and prisons since 2009. So when are Americans going to wake up? When are they going to take back their country peacefully, legally, lawfully, and start contacting constitutional lawyers and taking up issues, filing injunctions against China from buying any land in our country and giving them their money back and sending them back home? Not the citizens who are legal Americans here, they're good people. I'm talking about the leaders in China who seek and have threatened to conquer America, as well as Iran. Why are we funding people who want to wipe out Israel, wipe out America, wipe out Christians, wipe out Americans? Why should we be, our taxes, be funding these agendas that are a national threat to our lives, our safety, our welfare, our unborn babies, our children? Because guess what, America? We have the lowest birth rate of natural-born Americans ever, and there are six other countries who will eventually disappear because you need babies to grow up and maintain and preserve sovereign nations. So think about why they are depopulating millions and millions and millions of babies since the 70s by the left promotion of your choice. You have a choice to say no. You have a choice to get contraceptives. You have a choice to get other devices that doctors offer. You have a choice to use condoms if you don't want a baby. Why should the world have to pick up the tab for people who aren't responsible for their own bodies and then say, it's my body, my choice? Well, now it's your body, your baby, and a choice. Our taxes are being wasted, and they're being wasted to kill babies. They're being wasted to kill natural-born citizens who are needed to preserve the United States of America in the future while they're flooding our nation with third world countries for slave labor, and because they no longer need the intelligent American workers because they can pay them 25 cents an hour instead of $25 an hour. Well, anyway, that's all opinion. Nothing said on Colombo Chronicles is intended to be legal, medical, political, or financial advice, but a dissemination of information for educational purposes only. Remember, injustices can happen to you, and they can happen to me, and by the way, they have. And so we need to come together, and remember, when you listen to Colombo Chronicles, you are never alone.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies. And now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Colombo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Colombo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.